When President Clinton designated a new national monument today, he made the announcement at the Grand Canyon, a location that was itself in jeopardy 3 decades ago. At the time, Stuart Udall was Secretary of the Interior. The Arizona native served under Presidents Kennedy and Johnson. He oversaw a tremendous expansion of national parks in this country, and it was Udall who helped save the Grand Canyon from becoming a series of dams and lakes. This summer, Stuart Udall returned to the Grand Canyon for the first time in nearly 30 years. Reporter Nick Spitzer joined him to travel by raft down the Colorado River at the base of the canyon.
To meet up with Stuart Udall, I hiked to the river from the canyon's south rim, a vertical drop of over a mile along knife-edge cliffs through furnace-like ravines of 110-degree heat. The sound of the cold flowing Colorado intensifies as we near Udall and his party, who had started 8 days before, upriver at Lee's Ferry.
Well, you all made it. Welcome to the inner gorge of the Grand Canyon, down where all the views are up and where you're going to be for the next 7 days.
Stuart Udall is 76 years old. His silvery hair sweeps back from his angular face. He has a week of gray beard stubble, an unraveling straw hat, red bandana, faded Levi's, and billowing shirt. He looks at once like an old prospector and a prophet.
You look at the river and you wonder, where did that water come from? Nature creates what are called river basins.
Stuart Udall was one of six children born into a Mormon farming family in St. John's, Arizona. He learned early on about water scarcity, and now the former Arizona congressman and current-day author and lawyer is a font of wisdom about water sources for the Colorado Plateau. In this morning's talk about the nature of water, Udall reads from the log of John Wesley Powell's 1869 exploration of the Grand Canyon.
When summer comes, this snow melts and tumbles down the mountainsides in millions of cascades. A million cascade brooks unite to form 1,000 torrent creeks. 1,000 torrent creeks unite to form 50 rivers. Beset with cataracts, 50 roaring rivers white to form the Colorado, which flows a mad, turbulent stream into the Gulf of California.
While Powell was a self-taught scientist and explorer who advocated development of Western water resources and land reclamation, Udall's vision grows out of early American conservation impulses.
Actually, the policy on having public lands was set back in the beginning of this country by Thomas Jefferson. And some of these crazies in the states, county officials and others who like to make a lot of noise, and they appear periodically about every 20 or 30 years, and they say, give these lands back to us, to the states, to the counties, and so on. And so the battle will go on. It'll go on after some of us are not here, and all of you will have to fight that battle. But no land is useless. All land has a place in the whole natural world.
As we push our five boats into another day of running rapids with names like Crystal, Granite, Hermit, and Upset, Udall's thoughts turn upward from where we are in the canyon's inner river gorge to the rim far above.
99% of the people see the river from the rim, and they get the big look, and they take a picture, and leaves a magnificent impression, but to see the Grand Canyon from the bottom up is to see landforms and colors that are an incredible display. As the sun changes, the colors change. The experience is one of seeing a great canyon in all of its magnificence.
Stuart, I don't mean to interrupt you, but shouldn't we hang on here?
Yeah, we better. It's a nice little rapid. You get splashed here and there. And that's part of the excitement. You know, there are rivers people run for the excitement of the rapids. Here, you have that, plus you're running through the most magnificent landscape in the world, maybe.
Let me get the water off of my microphone screen.
We float into soft eddies, a deep five-mile stretch of calm with vertical red walls reaching hundreds of feet above us. Even higher, limestone temples and pyramids carved by wind and water. Nearby, layers with exotic names like Vishnu Schist and Zoroaster granite. We drift through geological time between layers of Precambrian and Cambrian ages, spanning 1.7 billion years to a billion years in just a few hours. We hit more rapids as the light grows long and the day's river travel comes to an end.
Here's our camp, and it's a sandbar in a deep canyon with magnificent hues of the sun on the high mesas and buttes surrounding us. I like to camp along the rapids because it's a song and it puts you to sleep, and it's most pleasant.
As with each day on the trip, dinner is cooked, bedding laid down, a carpet of stars rolls out in the sky crack above. Frogs call to each other as we fall asleep. We wake to the call of our guides. After breakfast, the rest of the group use ropes to climb into Olo Canyon, a side gorge above us with a remnant of water in it. Udall and I stay behind, sitting on soft sand, shaded under a massive rock overhang. Out of the 115-degree white heat of the exposed beach, we talk over a life engaged with conservation policy. Some of the drama of Udall's career actually played out not far from where we speak.
Well, the Grand Canyon and its preservation came into a very sharp focus in the late 1960s when I was the Secretary of Interior, and I was in effect the man caught in the middle, because there were plans to build two dams that would flood the Grand Canyon, and my own people from Arizona were desperate to build these dams. Some of them still dislike me because I helped stop the construction of these dams. But this was a major issue that was raised nationally and debated and discussed with a big furor in terms of a conservation controversy. And the ultimate decision not to build the dams was, as I look back, a very important decision.
Along with protection from economic development is the issue of tourism. Tour boats with large two-cycle engines disrupt silence in the inner canyon. And overhead, airplanes filled with sightseers are a steady droning presence in many areas of the canyon. This is a current day issue, with controversy-laden public hearings now on the calendar. Udall hopes the Grand Canyon administrators will listen to the advocates of noise reduction.
You get the feeling of the importance of silence. Well, there's a human lesson. That's what the wilderness does. It says to you, use your senses.
There is sound here, but it's natural sound.
Well, these are great amphitheaters. You can hear a canyon wren sometimes. The song of the birds bounces off the walls. We heard a coyote the other night. Most Americans closed in city environments never have this opportunity. But I was fortunate to grow up in a small town on the Colorado Plateau, nearby here actually. Some of the water that's running here comes through my hometown. And this gave me a sense of nature. As a matter of fact, we were living the same way they lived in the 19th century, working with horses. Gardens were important. Growing crops was important. My brother and I both became national conservation leaders. This didn't mean that we were anti-development, but it meant that we were saying to developers, to corporations and so on, look, there's a good way and a bad way, and do it the right way or you're going to have a fight on your hands.
Udall's vision for the Grand Canyon and the natural world in general is grounded in an American tradition of conservation and populism that reacted to the ravages of 19th century exploration and exploitation. He recalls President Theodore Roosevelt's reaction to the canyon.
Well, I guess President Teddy Roosevelt, who slept out in the snow up on the South Rim nearly 100 years ago, he said it right for all time. There it is, magnificent. Man cannot improve upon it. Leave it alone.
And of course, we're never able to leave anything alone. That's the reason the conservation struggles go on, because life changes, technology changes, new economics makes other things possible, and nothing is ever saved. It's like liberty. You have to be constantly alert and vigilant, fighting for the preservation of what's important.
Our days in the canyon pass. We slather sunscreen each morning and don floppy hats and old cotton shirts that cool us when soaked with river water. We run the huge lava rapid without flipping. We stand under fern frame waterfalls and make day hikes up side canyons, past raven perches, through blue travertine pools to remote beaver dam lakes. To cool ourselves off, we jump from hot cliffs into the freezing river. Near the end of the trip, the river's flow quiets down. Hot Mojave winds sandblast our faces. Some of the water-level fire-form rock we now see looks like huge abstract expressionist sculpture in a geological art gallery. On a sunny beach about 10 miles above our pullout point, Stewart addresses our group for the last time.
You're going to return to the world of bathtubs today, most of you. For some of us, this may be our last Grand Canyon trip. For some of you, it may be the first. It may be the first, but it's been a great trip, and it fulfilled all of our expectations. And we thank you all.
Thank you.
While the tone seems final on this Grand Canyon beach, Stewart Udall is hardly making his last speech. From here, he returns home to New Mexico to continue writing his new book on domestic life in the agrarian West. And then he has time to contemplate his next trip to the Grand Canyon and other wild places he loves so well. I'm Nick Spitzer.